Good to see you, church. It's good to be in the house of God. Yeah, I know we bring a lot of stuff with us. Expect God to move in your life, but you got to release it to God so He can. Thank you for joining us online as well. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. And it's my honor today to bring God's word to you. Just a few days from Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. It's good to see you. I'm so glad that you're here. We do have a Christmas Eve service, as you probably heard at the beginning of our service this morning. It's at 6:30, Tuesday night, Christmas Eve, and it's about an hour long. We invite you to come. It's a family gathering as well. Bring friends and family. Bring yourself, whatever. We'd love for you to come and join us. And there is no kids ministry that night because we're all sitting together enjoying what God is going to say to us. And there is a kids section in the service itself, but it's going to be a wonderful time together. Has anybody come this morning expecting from God today? Come on. Amen. You know, as a preacher, sometimes I can feel the expectation. I can feel the hunger that people come with. I can feel that people are desperate for God, and then sometimes I can feel where people just come here as an obligation. Well, today is not an obligation. God wants your participation because He's going to do a demonstration today. You came to have an experience with the living God, and I pray that you came expecting. A lot of times we get what we expect, but I don't know what you carried in here today, but God wants to take it. If it's something that's amazing, He wants to bless it. He wants to multiply it. If it's something that's heavy and hard, He wants you to lay it at His feet because He can carry it for you. His burden is light and His yoke is easy. He can carry it much better than we can. Give Him your surrender. Give Him your life. Hallelujah. This month, our new series is titled Holy Moments. Have you ever had a moment like that in your life, a holy moment? You're like, man, this is something right now. This is a holy moment. There's something going on. This is not normal. My natural is getting touched by the supernatural. Something is taking place right now. It's a holy moment. I don't know about you, but that last song, I can never sing that song without crying. It is a holy song. Like, it just blows me away. I can be on YouTube listening to it, and I'm just like, ah, right? I got to be careful. I can't listen to it when I'm driving, okay? Because that's when I drive by faith and not by sight because I'm a mess. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for bumpers. I don't know what I ran over, but just keep on trucking. Amen. And that's called a hit and run, Pastor. That's wrong. Okay. You find yourself face to face with a choice that feels bigger than you. And how you respond might change your life, and how you respond might change someone else's life as well. How do you know what to do? See, together, we've been experiencing moments that can turn into holy moments. This has been a holy month full of holy moments together. Church, there was an unexpected moment that changed everything. It was the birth of Jesus Christ, God's Son. It was a holy moment that changed human history. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 says this, "Look or behold, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. If you'd like to follow along with us today in the notes, please open up your app, YouVersion app. Yeah, we can say digital pad out, or your iPad, whatever you have, a tablet or your phone, right? I know you in the back row, you already have it out anyway. You're probably playing a game. So I'm just playing a little bit. They tell me, right? Isaiah, right? You see some people playing some games? You point them out to me. I'm playing. Hallelujah. He's looking right there. He's playing. Okay. Look. It was good that they attended, and I hope they find a great church. Hallelujah. Make sure they preach all the gospel, not just part of it. Hallelujah. All right, YouVersion. Open up your YouVersion app. If you don't have it, it's free. Get on there, sign up, open it up. It's a Bible Bible app. You click on the bottom right-hand corner, you click on more, there's three little lines, you go to events, about six, seven down, at least it is for me, and then you click on First Church of the Open Bible, our official name. Click on that and you can press save. You can follow along with some of the notes today, and or if you start taking your own notes. Note takers are? Some of y'all remember, history makers, amen. I used to say that as a youth pastor all the time. Note takers are history makers, hallelujah. Have you ever had a holy moment where you had an opportunity to share something spiritual? You ever had a holy moment where you had an opportunity to share the gospel with someone, but you hesitated? Right? You ever hesitated? Like, man, this is an opportunity God has given me, and I hesitated. And you thought to yourself, man, why did I hesitate? Maybe sometimes we hesitate to share Jesus with others because we don't let the amazement of God's assignment navigate and empower us. Maybe we hesitate, it's because we get our eyes off of Jesus and we focus on our fear instead. Or maybe we forget just how amazing God's Advent story really is. That God sent his son to live and to die in our place, to forgive us and set us free forever. And that if you had the cure of all cancer, would you hold it just for yourself? Or would you tell the world? Oftentimes we have an opportunity, a holy moment to share the gospel that cures more than just cancer. It cures a dying, lost soul. But we hesitate sometimes. For those of you that are followers of Christ, hey, hey, what's up? Don't you love being a Christian? Man, sometimes it's hard. Okay, most of the time it's hard. It is. You see the world around, man, they're dealing with all their stuff, doing all the things they want to do, and they look so free, but really they're bound. But a lot of times it's hard doing the right thing when everybody else is doing the wrong thing. It's hard holding your tongue when you want to go off on somebody. And it's hard sometimes to do the right thing when everybody's doing the wrong thing. But let me tell you, that's freedom. You're going to be slave to sin or you're going to be slave to Christ. Either way, you're going to be a slave. I'd rather be a slave to freedom than bondage. I love being a believer. But sometimes it's hard because I just want to go off on somebody. I just want my flesh to rise up and take over. You ever done that before and then you look back and you see all the devastation? Ooh, you ever look around and see all the hurt people around because you couldn't hold your tongue? Why didn't you hesitate on that? Come on now. Sometimes God presents us with a holy moment, but we hesitate. For those of you that are followers of Christ, I can almost promise you this, that this month, the month of December, you're going to have multiple opportunities to share the gospel. You're going to have multiple opportunities to share God's love with somebody. I just read a study this week, which I didn't know. I don't know. Okay. Shouldn't give people nicknames sometimes if they're not kind. But sometimes they call people Christers, the people that come only on Christmas and Easter. It's the only time we see you. Like, that's my church, right? It's like, man, I don't even know your name, right? Okay, whatever. But Christers, right, they come sometimes. But God has a plan for your life. He wants more from you. Today's the day that you're going to experience God in a new way. You thought you were just coming to check off your box, but God came here to blow up that box and meet you right where you're at today. So if you're a visitor today, or maybe this is a place that you just come sporadically, we want to invite you that we are a church family that believes in the full gospel of God. We're a church family that also is led by the Spirit of the living God, and we are empowered by him, and we love one another with a love that only God recognizes, only the world will recognize, because we truly love one another. And let me see, if you just look around, there's a lot of people in this house that I have really nothing else in common with you other than the the most important thing, which is Jesus Christ. And because of that, we are now family. And not only are we family here, I have a family all around the world that are living now, the ones that are coming and the ones from the past. I got a spiritual family, and it's greater than any family that I could ever have on my own. It's God-given. I want to invite you today to not just visit, but to make this your home if you don't have a home. Pastor, if I come here, will you give me another nickname? I will not. Sometimes pastors got to talk to other pastors, and we just know, we just come up with stuff, right? It's like, hey, you remember that one thing? Yeah, yeah. Okay. You don't know because you ain't living there. Okay. But God is a good God, and I love being a believer. I remember what it was like to be lost. I remember what it was like to lay down my head every night and feel shame and guilt. What did I do? Look at the chaos that I caused. Look behind me. Look at the things that I've caused. Look at the mess that's behind me. And I remember accepting Christ that one awesome day. I was in youth ministry in ninth grade. I remember finally saying, you know what? I surrender my life. God gave me a word. I was there. The preacher preached this word about grace and mercy and love that I've never heard before. It was always shame and guilt and hell, and you're going to be burned forever if you don't turn to God. It was always that. And then all of a sudden, there's this grace message. And I'm like, wait a second. You love me enough that you love me where I'm at right now? I don't get that, because everybody's always judged me, the church and the world. They've always judged me the way I am. But you love me enough right now that you love me where I'm at? You love me enough that you find me right where I'm at. You find me that you've sent your son for me right now. And you love me enough that I didn't have to clean up to get into the shower, that I am here now in the shower getting cleaned up in your presence. You're taking my filthy rags and you're washing them and giving me them, your rags of righteousness, that you found me right where I'm at and that you love me enough. I just couldn't believe it. It was at that moment that I went to bed that night and I never felt any guilt or shame again. The devil shut his mouth because I was now the king's. I'm a king's kid. Amen? Does anybody remember that? Raise your hand. You remember that time where you gave your life to Christ? Come on. You know that feeling. I want you to hold on to that feeling right now. Do you remember? I was once lost, but now I'm found. Now look at me. There's a lot of people around you. As soon as you leave this place, that have never felt that before, don't you hesitate. Don't you hold that. They need to experience freedom that you understand. They need to experience the love that you get to experience every single day. And a lot of them hurting, especially right now. Holiday seasons are awesome, but they're also sometimes very heavy and hard. There's people out there that need a family that loves them and will not hurt them, that is not perfect, but serves the imperfect one, right? The perfect one. We are imperfect and he is perfect. There is a family here, the family of God, that must be shared. Do not hesitate. You're going to be like, man, you know what? These next few weeks, we're going to be walking. There's some normal interactions. I'm going to be going to the coffee shop. I don't know why you guys like coffee. It's disgusting. But coffee shop, right? By the way, I got a bone to pick with y'all. I'm just sidestepping for a second. Do you remember when we presented all the amazing things God's about to do, right? If you want to give toward, somebody knows what I'm about to say. Okay. Pastor, I know there's no guilt. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, right? For those who serve Christ Jesus. But right now, there's going to be a little bit of guilt because I got to talk to you. Okay, so, right, there was all these things set up, and we're talking about how amazing God is. We're going to make room, all these amazing things with the remodel. And everybody's like, wow, that's so cool. Look at how beautiful it is. And the greatest cheer we got in the entire presentation, I have been dreaming, I have been losing sleep, I've been working like a beaver behind scenes for 2 years, and this is what you celebrate about? I was like, and then he presented, and then right there's going to be a coffee shop, and then all the heavens rejoiced. Heaven opened up, and it's like, there's the coffee shop that I'm well pleased with, right? Like, what? I couldn't believe it. Come on now. Who cares? There's going to be 200 more seats in here and that many more people are going to be able to serve God and find Christ. But hey, we got coffee. Hallelujah. Hey, nobody going to show up in January because we're going to talk about addictions. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All I need, here's the t-shirts. All I need is Jesus and coffee. It's like, no, all you need is Jesus and deliverance. That's what you need. Be set free by the blood and stripes of Jesus. Hallelujah. What am I saying right now? I don't know. Church, every single day we have normal conversations that God wants to take that conversation and make it a holy moment. But you got to be listening to the Holy Spirit and what is he saying? You got to see that normal interaction that you think is just normal when God is actually setting you up with a divine appointment. But I want to ask you a question. Are you going to hesitate or are you going to be bold? Right? You don't got to be that weird Christian that every single time all you do is say Jesus like 12 times in a sentence, right? That everybody's like, man, I can't even talk to you about normal stuff ever, right? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is sometimes we have the hardest time talking about Jesus. We make it weird. You don't have to make it weird. You know how easy it is to talk about God in just a normal conversation? It's easy if you make it normal. Maybe it's hard for you because you don't talk about God very much. If that's a normal part of your conversation, everyone that you talk to, you're talking about the world, you're talking about all the transfer of power and in America and all over the world and all these troubles and terrible times, and yeah, that's been prophesied, like that's what's going to happen, and you're talking about that, and it's all you talk about, but you never put in Jesus, and never put in the hope, and you never talk about, hey, time is short, we need to preach the gospel, hey, let me tell you about this guy that set me free. Like, if you never say any of that stuff, and you make it weird, it's never going to be normal. God wants to make your normal conversations, oftentimes he wants to make them holy moments. But you have to ask yourself this. When you have that opportunity, I have a choice to make. Either boldly obey or I'm going to fear up. I'm going to shrink back. You never know how God might use one moment of boldness to change someone's life. You think it's easy coming up here preaching every week? It's not. I got to be bold. I come to you with boldness, not my own, but in Christ. Especially some of y'all that give me a stank face. Like, please, Pastor. I'm like, no. You're feeling that because the Holy Ghost is checking your heart. Change your face. Okay. Remind your face that there is grace. Hallelujah. Here's a new t-shirt. That's good. Remind your face that God is love. Okay, change the face. You never know what God might do with one word of faith. One moment of speaking life into somebody's situation. One moment of boldness. One message from the good news of Jesus Christ. One Advent story that can change someone's life forever. One holy moment. Tis the season to be bold. Tis the season to share the good news of Christmas. So I've titled today's message, Don't Hesitate. We continue this morning in our series, Holy Moments. Now we've been looking at moments in Scripture about the birth of Jesus. Today I want us to go to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at the shepherds. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are the first four books of the New Testament. That's the first four books that you'll find. The Bible isn't split in half. There's a lot more books in the Old than there is in the New. So if you go about almost three-fourths, you're going to be real close to the beginning of the New Testament. And these books are often labeled or named after the person that wrote them. Not all of them, but a lot of times. So we're going to look at Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's the third book, the third gospel in the New Testament. And what you're going to see is going to be big numbers. Those big numbers are chapters, and the little numbers are verses. The Bible wasn't written like this. It was written just like a normal book where you just write. There's no chapters or verses. It's just this big, long thing. But for our help, a long time ago, somebody put chapters and verses in there so we can all go to the same spot and find a reference point. So right now, we're going to Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 8. So 2 is the big number, 8's the little one. Let's start there. I'm going to read 8 and 9 right here. It says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them." Right? Okay, before I read that last part. Angel comes. The glory of the Lord is so incredible. And we talked about this on Wednesday over and over again. Last couple weeks, here we are again. What is the deal? It says they were terrified. Here comes God. Ah! Come on, teenagers, this is for you. You ever done something really naughty, like talk during the whole service? Yeah, okay. You ever done something... You ever done something before and then you know that you busted, right? And it's like, wait till your daddy gets home, right? Or something. And then your dad comes, okay. Somebody comes in and you hear them walking and you are terrified. Here comes the pow-pows, right? Glory. Here comes the glory. Hallelujah. You don't change your mind, this will change your mind, boy. Okay. I don't know about you, but I got a lot of pow-pows. And some of you think, Pastor, you should have got more. And my wife says, amen. But God shows up. The Lord sends an angel. And the radiance of the Lord is there. And the glory is surrounding the shepherds. And they were terrified. Here's a fun fact. There is still an ancient field called Shepherd's Field near Bethlehem in memory of this angelic moment in history. Still to this day, 2,000 years later, you can go to Shepherd's Field and learn about this very moment. Now, if we look in the next couple verses, it says, Scripture says that they were terrified, but the angels reassured them. Verses 10 through 12, next three verses. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news. And that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, laying in a manger." We see here that the angel says to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, but instead you should have joy. Stop fearing. Instead, realize the messenger from heaven is here to thrill you. He's not here to scare you." Church, isn't this just like us? When we get an assignment from God, or we get a word from God, or we get an impression from God, we tend to fear it instead of being thrilled by it. I know when I was called into ministry, my first thing was, "What? That's not my plan. How am I going to do that? I don't like to speak in front of people." Right? I can dance in front of a crowd, but I cannot speak in front of people. That's not my deal. I'm going to say something stupid, and everybody's going to remember that thing, and I'm going to mess everything up. Oftentimes, God sends us an assignment or gives us a word or an impression. Instead of being thrilled by it, we fear it. Stepping out in faith is frightful. You're a human. It happens. But if God gave you something from heaven, we shouldn't fear it. We should be wowed by it. Church, we shouldn't hesitate. Now, the angel makes this prophetic declaration. It says, "I bring you good news and great joy. Today in Bethlehem, a Savior, yes, Messiah the Lord, has been born unto you." Now, although Jesus appeared as a baby, the angel made it clear in his words that Jesus is the Savior. He is the Deliverer, the Healer, the Protector, the Preserver, the Anointed Messiah. He is Jehovah, God in the flesh. He is Emmanuel. He is the Lord of all. Christ came to Bethlehem to set mankind free. Now, here's what I find very, very interesting. The angel, on behalf of God, the messenger from God, didn't announce the birth of the Savior to a king. He didn't say, hey, king, tell your people. He didn't announce it to the elite. He didn't announce it to the super religious. He didn't even announce it to anybody that was in any kind of power at all. The angel announced it to shepherds tending to their sheep. Now, I did a lot of research this week, a lot, on shepherds. And there's a lot of interesting things. And I'm about to share with you something this morning that I've never read before. And the more I dug into this, the more wowed I was. The more I thought, man, sometimes I don't need to just read the words on paper. I need to dig deeper. The Bible is alive and active. I love this. It says this. Many scholars believe this, church, that these shepherds right here, they were actually known as shepherd priests. Shepherd priests. They were in a particular field preparing some particular sheep for the Passover. If these shepherds were truly shepherd priests, this would be really, really cool because of this. Because these shepherds would have been preparing and tending to the lambs at this very moment to give their life for Passover. At the very same time, the perfect Lamb of God is born to prepare his life to be given during a Passover as well. See, only certain shepherds in this region of Bethlehem, by the way, you said, did you notice that they're close? They're near? Jesus is born near. The Magi, they were far. The shepherds were near. Only certain shepherds in the region of Bethlehem were under a rabbinical or a rabbi's care. They were charged with the task to maintain a ceremonial, clean stable for the birthing place of unblemished lambs for sacrifice. Now, these shepherds understand this. See, once a newborn lamb is birthed, those shepherds would be wrapped in new lambs wrapped in strips of cloth or swaddling clothes to protect these baby sheep from injury. Then these shepherd priests, would place the newborn lambs in a stone feeding trough, also known as a manger. Until the priest came to inspect them, they pull them out of the manger, give them to the priest, and the priest will say, yes or no, is this lamb without blemish and worthy of a holy sacrifice? Now check this out. It's even better. Luke 2:12 says this. And you, or unto you, depending on what verse or what version you're reading in this verse, and you will recognize him. He's talking to the shepherds, not us, the shepherds. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, laying in a manger. Now the word sign here in the Greek, this word is intended to alert the observers to where he is going and what he is seeing is actually correct. This word sign is also meant to verify or guarantee. Now the words unto you or you will and you will in the original language literally means the sign was especially meant for you. It was specifically meant just for the shepherds. Church, God knows how to speak to each and every person in ways he or she will understand and recognize. God speaks to me in a specific way that I know it is him and not myself. In this case, God spoke to the shepherds using symbols that they would know and grasp. In essence, this is what the angel said. He said this, God will give you a sign, especially for you, to find a babe or a baby wrapped in snugly strips of cloth laying in a manger. When you search for him, you will find him because you've seen this before. You do this for a living. This is the call that I've given you, shepherd priest. Now you may, when we send you to go see that the baby has been born, you may see other caves with animals. You may even see other babies that were just born near Bethlehem. But this exact sign, the babe wrapped and cloths and laying in a trough. When you see this exact sign, it will tell you he is the one. He is Emmanuel. I love this word. To me, that's pretty dope. I mean, that is crazy. Here's what's true about shepherds during this time. Most shepherds were despised. They were outcast. They had very little respect in society. They were some of the lowest of the low. Shepherds weren't even allowed to participate in the temple worship themselves. These shepherds, priests, they could get everything ready, but they did not let them in. Why? Because they were ceremonially unclean. These shepherds slept with their sheep. They were dirty. They were nasty. They were uneducated. They were known as social outcasts. They were the bottom of society. They were like tax collectors. They were like dung sweepers. They were like prostitutes, according to society. If you saw a shepherd coming, you'd say, oh man, I got to walk on the other side of the street. I cannot be by that shepherd because that shepherd is so unclean. Now, have you ever thought about this before? Have you ever thought, why did God choose the shepherds to be the first to hear about the good news of Christ? Why? The first ones? Why not choose somebody more worthy? Why not choose somebody? Why did God trust these particular outcasts with the most incredible, the most important news? Why? I thought perhaps it was this, because these shepherds already were watching over the flocks and they were destined to be offered as sacrifice, these lambs, that they would recognize, these shepherds would recognize the significance of the ultimate sacrificial lamb to be born in their midst. Maybe that's why God chose them, because they already would have known. Now, I think that's part of the reason, but I think there's more to God's reasoning. And here's what I think. I think God sent the heavenly hosts and he chose out of every type of person on earth, the unpolished, the unremarkable, the uneducated, the outcast. He chose the shepherds to declare the greatest news in history of the world. The Savior has been born unto us. Why? Because no one is too far from God's reach. Why? Because no one is too low for God's love. That's why. Also, because God often chooses the unlikely to carry the extraordinary. Come on. Woo. Come on. You don't think I feel unworthy to come up here every week? I am unworthy, but he is worthy. And greater is he that's in this world, he than my own fears and insecurities. Greater is he. Come on. He has chosen the unlikely to carry the extraordinary. That's how our God works. God often chooses people just like you and just like me. Those who don't feel educated enough. Those who don't feel holy enough. Those who don't feel worthy enough. Those who don't feel like they can. God calls us to carry the extraordinary, amazing message into the world. God chose the shepherds just like God has chosen you. So church, do not hesitate. And the moment the shepherds heard this news, this is what they said. Luke 2:15, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, guys, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. With no hesitation, Scripture says in the next verse in 2:16, they hurried, they hustled, they ran, they went to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby laying in the manger. I love this. There was no hesitation. There was no holding back. There was no, let's think about it. Church, let's pray about it. Let's wait until we're all ready to go. Let's wait until I feel like it. Until I feel better about myself. No, they hurried. There was no hesitation. Church, if the shepherds can do it, we can do it too. Here's one of my greatest prayers for the American church. That we would get rid of spiritual hesitation. That we would live in the boldness of Christ Jesus. I would say 90% of the people in here today, somebody was bold to share the gospel with you. And because of that, you now know Christ. And because of that, you're no longer damned to hell, but you are set free and destined for heaven. Somebody was bold with you one time. Somebody told you the Advent story that God sent his son, that not one shall perish. And that if you believe in him, you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. He did not come to the world to condemn us. He came to the world to save us. Somebody had a word, and they were bold enough to share it. They did not hesitate. We need to understand that there needs to be a sense of spiritual urgency and anticipation. Time is short. I don't know if you guys keep seeing these things, right? By the way, all those things flying around in the United States of America, I don't know why they didn't shoot them down, right? Hey, send them to Iowa. I'm pretty sure. Target practice. Sorry, I thought it was a deer. It looked like a buck. I don't know. Right? And if you go in the South, they got two guns. I've lived there. I know. I've seen it. It's weird. Got to hide behind something. It's crazy. But, you know, there's a lot of deception in this world right now. All these things flying around, they're trying to tell you that there's extraterrestrial, that there's aliens out there, they're all going to be abducted. No, that's called the rapture. They're just getting ready to lie to the world when we all get raptured to heaven. That's what they're doing. Quit watching the news so much. Get in your word. Right? Yes, the countries are falling apart. Yes, there's a bunch of crooked leaders. Man, that's been happening since sin. Remember the two brothers? They didn't get along, so what'd you do? Smash somebody's head in. I mean, what? That's how that started. We all could have been riding on unicorns right now, but no, the apple looked great. Pastor, you crazy. I'd be riding a T-Rex, no unicorn. Come on. Crazy. Pastor, I'm more of a pterodactyl guy. Okay, it's cool. It's cool. Get on that pterodactyl, knock those stupid things out of the sky right now. It's driving me crazy. It's all over news. Okay. We got to understand that the American church, we cannot have spiritual hesitation. We cannot hesitate. No hesitation, no reservation, only proclamation and demonstration. That's what I love about Pentecostals. I didn't grow Pentecostal, right? We had a lot of proclamation, but we had absolutely no demonstration. We showed up, we checked it off our list, we sang some hymns, and we went home. And we told nobody about Jesus. I love a church that's alive, that we do what we believe, that we speak with confidence, that we're led, that we understand that we're not greater, but we're filled. Right? We're filled with the Holy Ghost, so we got to tell somebody. Amen. All right, let's start wrapping this up. I love what the shepherds do. They experience God. They get a message from God, so they go and find God. Come on now. They experience God. They get a message from God, so they go find God, but they don't stop there. But that's sadly what many believers do today. They stop right there. They sit and enjoy the wonderful gift of salvation for themselves. And that's it. But like the shepherds, church, there is more. The next verse after seeing the baby, what do the shepherds do? Let's go back, Luke 2:16 and read 17. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph and the baby laying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angels had said to them about this child. What did the shepherds do, church? They told everyone. Come on. They went to Hy-Vee, and you know they went to Walmart, okay? It's my favorite. Everybody knows. If you've been around long enough, like Walmart needs Jesus. There is ministry in every aisle. Hallelujah. Come on. And even the pretty ladies in their 30s and 40s at Target need Jesus too. Just husband's at home. I got my date all by myself. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get that. Oh, going to hide that from my husband. Right? That's called a word of knowledge, by the way. And some of y'all going this week, that's also a word of wisdom because it's about to happen. Okay. Confess your sins to one another and you will be healed. Amen. Church, they told everyone, they went, everyone, come on, somebody in the house today feels unworthy. You think no one's going to listen to me? Do you know what I've done or where I've been or what I've said? People look at me, they don't see someone that has something to say. I'm a nobody, I'm unworthy. I can't say anything to anybody. But the Bible says, this despised group of people, these overlooked, uneducated, deemed unclean, not even worthy at that time to go to church, go to the temple to worship, they had the courage to boldly share about the birth of Jesus to everybody they saw. They were given a sign, and it was a sign just for them, one that they recognized. Oh, look at that. Wrapped in cloth, laying in a manger that's just like those thousands of unblemished lambs that I've done for all those years. That is Emmanuel. That is God. That, behold, that is the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. There he is. I know this sign. Nobody can deny this. I don't care what anybody else thinks. The Magi won't understand it. That's why they're going to come when he's a little boy. They won't understand it, but I see the Lamb of God. I know this sign. Oh, and I got to tell somebody. Not just somebody, I gotta tell everybody. I don't care how smelly I am. I don't care how dirty I am. I don't care what the world said about me. I don't care what my mama said about me. I don't care what my daddy said about me. I don't care what those kids said about me. I don't care what I believe about me. I'm gonna go tell somebody. I've seen a sign, and it's unto me. It's for me. God spoke to me, and I know what that angel said. It's the truth. I can't keep this to myself. I'm not going to hesitate. See, the world says that we are nobodies. But God saw what the world called a nobody, and he chose them. He called them to be the first ones to carry the greatest message in human history. The Son of God has come. Jesus has come to save the world. The Lamb of God has come to save me. He's come to save you. He's come to save everyone. Church, do not hesitate. Hallelujah. The shepherds had their time. The shepherds had their assignment. Now you have yours. When the lowest in society was filled with God's glory, sharing God's story. Come on now. When the lowest in society was filled with God's glory, sharing his story, what happened next? Luke 2:18 tells us, all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. They didn't care what the shepherds looked like. They didn't even care that they were the scum of the earth. According to the world, they didn't care that they weren't educated. They didn't care if maybe they stuttered five times before they got the words out. They didn't care if maybe they tripped over their words. They didn't care because they were too busy being astonished. When life has changed you because of Jesus, when your sins are forgiven and the old stuff that you don't want anybody to know about is gone and forgiven, when you are made new and when you're born into the family of God, when you inherit all of God's glorious riches, and you didn't deserve anything to deserve this, you cannot keep that stuff to yourself. You got to tell everybody. Scripture says this, all who heard the shepherd's story, they were astonished. They were, another word for that, they were blown away. They heard the message and it took their breath away. What? For me? They were amazed. What was their message? It was a bold and it was a simple and it was a clear message. It was this: the virgin that was prophesied 700 years ago. Now it's 2,700 years ago. The virgin gave birth to a son. His name is Jesus. He is Emmanuel. It was promised long ago that he is God with us. And he came to save all the people from their sins. And he was just born. He is here now to save the world. God reached down so you could be lifted up. God took our sins so you could have his righteousness. God was born into poverty so you could experience his eternal riches. There's a baby. He's wrapped in cloth and he's sitting in a trough, and I know he is the one, the promised one. You got to know about it. And God didn't announce this message to royalty in a palace. No, instead he announced it to the outcasts in a field. Why would God do that? So the world would know that no one is too far from God's reach. No one. That is including you today. No one. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what you've said. It doesn't matter how many times you have messed up or going to mess up. It doesn't matter. God loves you now and forever. He loves you. No one is too far low for God's love. Church, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to care, God is calling you. He's calling you now. He's even calling you online. You have no idea how God might use one moment of boldness to change someone's life. You have no idea how God might use your one time of boldness to change your life. Don't hesitate. Be bold. Time is short. Church, it's time for a holy moment. This morning, this message, I believe this is your sign. However God is speaking to you today, this is your sign. Because God often chooses the unlikely to carry the extraordinary. God often chooses people just like you and just like me, those who don't feel educated enough, those who don't feel holy enough, those who don't feel worthy enough. He calls us to carry his extraordinary message into the world. But the question is, are you looking for his sign? What has he said unto you? Did you know there's no sin too great for God's grace? The only sin that he will never forgive is when you turn against him and you deny him. Here's the good thing. He's going to give you another chance. If you got breath in your lungs, you got another chance today. Amen. The only time that that's unforgivable is you lose the breath in your lungs and you've been denying him the whole time. Today's another chance. Today's another day. His mercy is new every morning. It's true. It's true. God reached out to those who were despised and overlooked, and he chose the lowly shepherds in a remote hillside outside of a tiny Judean village. God chose those shepherds just like God has chosen you, just like he has chosen me. Church, last couple things I'm saying to you, and then God's going to do a work. At some point, we have to care more about those that are on the outside than we care about our fear that is on the inside. At some point, you're going to have to flip-flop that. You're like, I can't, Pastor. Good. Because if you can do it on your own, it's not God anyway. You're right, you can't. But with God, you can. All things are possible. Say, God, I can't do it on my own. But if you give me the strength, I promise you, I will take that first step out of that boat. I promise you. But I need you to keep me afloat. Last two verses, 1 Peter 1:18-19 says this in the NIV. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down from you from your ancestors. No, it wasn't. Verse 19 says, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And he was wrapped in snuggly cloths, laying in a trough 2,000 years ago as the greatest gift that has ever been given. He is the unblemished Lamb of God sent here to take away the penalty of man's sin. I think I saw Brent come. God's intentions were first revealed in that historic night to those who would understand the sign and they would not hesitate. Here's what today's message is this. It's simple. The Savior's here. His name is Jesus. He was born to save his people from their sins. He is the true reason for this season. He is the greatest gift you will ever be given. And he's also the best gift that you can re-give, right? You don't need an elephant gift party, right? You don't need one of them things. He is the greatest gift that you can re-give over and over and over and over and over and over again. Come on now. Church, will you stand with me? Father, I pray that you make us bold. I pray that you make us bold to proclaim your truth. Church, do not hesitate. Right now, prayer teams, will you come to the front with me, please, as we begin to close? First and foremost, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, maybe you did at one point, but you have went away from the truth. You've went away from the gospel. You've went away from his love. If you have gone away, or maybe you've never known this love before that can set you free, that you don't recognize the sign yet. If that's you today and you want to know Jesus Christ, today here's your sign. You came today thinking, it's just another Sunday. It's another church service. I'm going to sing some songs. Probably going to sing them bad. I'm going to look around. People are going to be goofy. I don't know what you thought. But today, God is meeting you here now. His presence is here now. That feeling you have in your chest is the living God saying, come to me now. I will rescue you from everything. I will heal you. I will set you free. I will deliver you because I love you. You'll never know a greater love than this because he was born in a manger to live and to die on a cross. He is our Savior. And he's not just dead. 3 days later, he was raised back to life and he's the living Savior of the world. If you want to know him for the first time or rededicate your life to him today, I want to invite you right now to come. Remember, I said you got to be bold. It's time to be bold. That boldness can save someone else's life, but that boldness can save your life. Will you be bold right now and come? The church is not going to judge you. We've all been here. If that's you, come right now and find one of these groups of people. Come right now. Be bold. We're going to celebrate with you. Be bold. Come on. Church, celebrate as they come. Come on down. Come on, man. What's your name?
Rain.
What is it?
Rain.
God loves you, Rain. Today's your day. Today's your sign. Woo. That guilt is gone. What you've done is gone. You're made new today. You got to give him your life. Okay? He's going to change you. But there's a call in your life. Not only is he going to change you today, he's going to call you to go. People are going to listen to you because they've been listening to you, but in the wrong way. Not today. It's all turning around today. That hurt from your childhood is gone. It's gone. He loves you. He's a good father. He's not going to hurt you like that. He's not going to hurt you like that. You're loved. I know those tears. I've cried those tears. Freedom. Freedom. Healing. Love. right now, healing, love, freedom. Right now, this is not just a time of salvation. There's going to be a salvation and an infilling and a calling upon his life. God, as I saw him coming, I just felt a boldness inside of him that many people have never seen before. Woo. You will be humble and you will be bold. You will be humble and you will be bold. It's not about what you look like. It's not about your talents, but it's about the God inside of you. As you give your life to him, he's going to fill you with power from on high. And you're going to be delivered. You're going to be delivered from all of that shame and that guilt and that hurt. Come on. You remember. I just see you laying down. And you heard a word from the Lord and you said no. You said no. That can't be God. That can't be God. No, it was God. It was God. He spoke to you that night. You were laying down and you were hurt and you were mad. Well, you might have even been a little bit drunk. Shita caramba. You might have been under the influence, but God was, he was delivering you. Even from that moment, he was calling you. There was a sign. Today's your sign, son. Today's your sign, son. Go forth and be healed and delivered and set free. Ooh, God loves you. You know, the devil's going to come immediately afterwards, and he's going to try to say, that was not God. But let me tell you right now, what you're feeling today, no one can take that from you. No one can. You stand on this. You stand on this and say, devil, shut your mouth. Flesh, shut your mouth. This is God and God alone. There's no way I was met like this. I didn't expect that. I just want to have a good Christmas. And God messed it all up in a good way. Hey. Thank you, Jesus. Rain. Woo. Let it rain. Rain, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. Grace and mercy and love, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. Let his truth rain from your mouth. Let it be like rivers of living water. Let it rain, let it rain. Let it be refreshing. May it be renewing. Hallelujah. Shutarande. Rain, let it rain. Come on. Let it rain. Let it rain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. You guys, pray for him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I got to pray for you. I met you today.
Yes, sir.
That's a nice mustache. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this man. He once knew you, but he wants to know you. Let it be. Ooh. God, I already know that there's a sign going on right now in the world today, and a lot of young people are coming to you. They're searching for the truth. They want a real truth. They want a demonstration. They don't just want words. They want a church that's active and alive and says, oh, that is a real God that we serve. And I know that's what he's searching for. He doesn't just want words. He wants demonstration. So, Father, help us to be sensitive to your spirit. Fill him now with your love. May there be a demonstration in his life, a sign that he sees, that he knows, oh, that's God. That ain't me. That's not the world. That's nothing that I can conjure up. That's nothing that I can think about. That is God himself. Before January 1st comes, you're going to feel that sign. You're going to know that sign that God, that only you're going to recognize. You're going to be like, oh, that's God. That might seem small or stupid to somebody else, but that's what I recognize and I know that is God. I'm going to prophesy it into your life right now. God, when he recognizes that time, he's going to be filled with your love and your power at that moment. God, you're going to meet him in a supernatural way, that he's going to have to stop whatever he is doing and have an experience with you. Like a moment where you've knocked him off his horse like you did with Saul and you turned him into Paul. God, change his name at that moment. Change his destiny at that moment. Change what he's about to do and what he's about to say in that moment as he meets you, as he's meeting you now. He's got to get rid of some friends. He's got to get rid of some habits. He's got to get rid of some thoughts, but he can't do it without you, God. He's bound. But today, son, you are free. The Bible says if Jesus sets you free, you're free indeed. So right now, we pray for a freedom to come in his life. Hey, right now, freedom come. Hey, Jesus. He's tried to quit, but he can't. But today, he's got more than just his own power. He's got the power of the Holy Ghost. You don't even have to quit. It's done. 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 Amen? It's done. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Church, I want to give a call for boldness right now. Okay? Before we go. I know, we're running a little bit later. Hallelujah. Some of y'all got to run and wrap your presents. And I say, dude, what'd you do yesterday? Like, come on. Okay. If you're feeling like you want boldness of God, I cannot hesitate again. If that's you today, raise your hands to heaven as an international sign of surrender. Right now, Holy Spirit, every hand raised in the house today, fill them to overflowing. Right now, from the tippy top of their fingers to the soles of their feet, I pray for an infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit. May it be evidence with speaking with other tongues, or a sign, or a miracle, or a word of knowledge, or a word of wisdom. God, the nine gifts, may they be active in their life right now. Fill them to overflowing. And the ones that have already been filled, I pray you fill them again right now. And it says in your word, when the 120 were in the upper room, immediately Peter went down with boldness and he preached the greatest sermon ever preached, and except for the Sermon on the Mount, but the greatest sermon that was preached at that time. He preached and 3,000 men and however many women and children came to Christ that day. And I pray that that same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that lives in us. And may you fill them again to overflowing. I thank you for your son on Christmas. I thank you for Emmanuel. I thank you for the sign that you sent that the shepherds would know and they would go and spread the gospel. So now I pray for a new sign. Give these people a sign that they know he is real. He is speaking, and I will not hesitate. I got to tell everybody. Anybody who will listen, I want to tell them. Give them boldness, God. We love you. We trust you. Church, we love you. We thank you for this time this morning. I want to invite you. Christmas Eve service, 6:30 in here. Bring your friends, bring your families, bring your enemies. Hallelujah. If you brought a bunch of enemies, the back row is for you. Hallelujah. Amen. No, we really want you to come. Bring anybody you can. I hope you bring a whole bunch of people, right? Because you're going to tell somebody. Okay, we're going to sing one last song together. We're going to seal what God is doing. I want you to be sensitive. There's people getting prayed for right now. If you want to talk and talk about something, go outside. If you don't really like the conversation, go all the way outside and you'll want to end it quick because it's still cold. Hallelujah. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen.